Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Friday, November 24th, 2017. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we're on page XXVII in the doctor's opinion. Starting with the line, the doctor writes, and reading all the way through six paragraphs back from the gates of death and commenting on all of them. Today's readers are Donna L. with the 12 Steps, Reggie O. for the 12 Traditions, John K., Penny L.C., and Kathleen O. The reference morning for the 10 a.m. meeting yesterday, Thanksgiving, November 23rd, 2017, at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, is 1076. The reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting, Friday, November 24th, is 10709. 10,709. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Donna L. to read the 12 steps. Star one to unmute, please, Donna.
You know, I was unmuted and ready, but somehow I keep getting remuted.
We hear you now, Donna.
Okay. My name is Donna L., and I'm originally from Massachusetts, now living in Clearwater, Florida. Happy to read the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except that when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and for the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Donna L. I'll now ask Reggie O. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hey, thank you. Good morning, everybody. Reggie O., gratefully recovered in Los Angeles. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, excepting in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Reggie O. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book in the doctor's opinion on page XXVII, beginning with the doctor writes. I will ask John Kay to please begin reading.
Thank you. This is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive reader in Los Angeles. The doctor writes, the subject presented in this book seems to be of paramount importance to those afflicted with alcoholic addiction. I say this after many years' experience as medical director of one of the oldest hospitals in the country treating alcoholic and drug addiction. There was, therefore, a sense of real satisfaction when I was asked to contribute a few words on a subject which is covered in such masterly detail in these pages. We doctors have realized for a long time that some form of moral psychology was of urgent importance to alcoholics, but its application presented difficulties beyond our conception. What are ultra-modern standards, our scientific approach to everything, what with our ultra-modern standards and our scientific approach to everything, we are perhaps not well equipped to apply the powers of good that lie outside our synthetic knowledge. Many years ago, one of our leading contributors to this book came under our care in this hospital, and while here, he acquired some ideas which he put into practical application at once. Later, he requested the privilege of being allowed to tell his story to other patients here, and with some misgiving, we consented. The cases we have followed through have been most interesting. In fact, many of them are amazing. The unselfishness of these men as we have come to know them, the entire absence of profit motive, and their community spirit is indeed inspiring to one who has labored long and wearily in this alcoholic field. They believe in themselves and still more in the power which pulls chronic alcoholics back from the gates of death. Wow. You know, that one sentence, some form of moral psychology was of urgent importance to alcoholics. Now, I always took that as the layman's form of, we give up, we don't have the answers. We've tried everything we know about. You know, I thank God that this breakthrough happened at the time it did. You know, I bet most doctors at that time, you know, Dr. Silkworth included, even if they'd become atheist or agnostic, were at least raised in homes where God or higher power was mentioned. You know, so these things dealt in this book, you know, most of them are outside the realm of science, weren't totally foreign to them. You know, just imagine what would happen if it happened now. My wife's a psychologist, and She works with the medical profession, and most of them are very concrete, show me the facts kind of people. And thus the concept of 12 steps is really foreign to them. You know, I think the real miracle here is that Dr. Silkworth had an open mind to consider the concept of moral psychology, you know, or spiritual awakening as most of us think of it now. And that leap, you know, and it was a leap, you know, changed the lives of millions of people. You know, science tends to, you know, push back against anyone who challenges the current orthodoxy. You know, it's been said the biggest breakthroughs in science come from a scientist looking at the results of an experiment and saying, huh, that's funny. In other words, getting an unexpected result. And that's what Bill Wilson had gotten. You know, but Dr. Silkworth, you know, a good man, was able to put his ego to the side and realize that these laymen were doing what the entire field of medicine he was in couldn't do, you know, helping hopeless alcoholics get better. But, you know, the fact was that this wasn't Bill Wilson or Dr. Bob. It was a power greater than themselves that was being channeled through them. And you know, at the end of the day, no scientist is going to beat that. You know, I think today the 12-step recovery method has become the orthodoxy, although I think a lot of doctors don't really grasp it. You know, the doctor who worked with me when I was getting sober back in the dark ages, he wanted to prescribe something called Anabuse. It's a drug that makes you violently ill if you drink alcohol. You know, think of it as the stomach stapling of alcoholism, you know, forcing a person to not do the action of the addiction. But I know that just like the various stomach surgeries, for a true addict, it's only a speed bump. You know, and I thank God today that my higher power helped me find the 12 steps, because even if Anabuse had worked, I'd have been a miserable non-drinking alcoholic. And then, of course, I probably would have gotten into the food again, and then I would have needed stomach surgery. And even if that had worked, I'd have been a miserable non-drinking, non-eating alcoholic compulsive eater. You know, instead, thanks to the steps in the big book, you know, I'm happy, joyous, and free today. So I'm going to pass on that. I just want to mention two quick things. If you're thinking of coming to the birthday party, the price goes up $10 at 11 p.m. tonight. So consider registering, register.oabirthday.com. And a bunch of us have started the 12 and 12 meeting based on this format. You can find it on the two Facebook pages. It's Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And either check the Facebook pages or email or message me, and I'll get you the information. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, John Kay. Who would like to comment on these paragraphs in the doctor's opinion?
Curious.
Stacy T.
Marin from Los Angeles.
Kathleen O.
Okay.
Paula D.
Okay, I'm going to ask everybody to hold on just a minute. Okay, hang on just a minute. My pen just ran out. I got another one nearby. Okay, here's what I got. I got Sherry KB, Stacy L, Marin, Kathleen O, and I'm not sure if it was Penny LC or Jody C that I heard, Liati D, and Paula. So that's the lineup we're going to go through. I just want to confirm, though, was that Penny LC that said she wanted to share, or was that Jody EQ? Maybe it was an either. Okay. Well, let's start with Sherry. Then we'll have Stacy, Marin, Kathleen, Leah TD, and Paula. So Sherry KB, please go ahead.
Elaine, good morning, everybody. This is Sherry KB in Northern California, grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Elaine, and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers, and happy Friday. Yay. So what I like about this is the first word that I read is about it's paramount. That means the highest rank, superior to others. For me, I've been afflicted by this disease. And what jumped out at me this morning, too, was that the treatment for alcoholic and drug addiction, you know, I never paid attention to that word drug addiction, because I've been told that I'm just like a drug addict with my food, alcoholic with my food, but I relate more to the drug addict because I've been told that, you know, if a heroin addict can't get a hold of a fix, they'll use a bottle of KO syrup to get a rush. And I can relate to that because I was definitely a sugar addict. The mastery that's covered in these pages, I mean, here's a doctor. Dr. Silkworth is endorsing this. And that's what's amazing to me is how this medical doctor is endorsing this book, the people in it, and saying it's covered in such mastery and that the urgency of the importance to the alcoholic, this is the moral psychology. And so he's saying, I can't help you guys. The only thing that's going to help you is a change in your personality, and I can't do that, and it's outside of my synthetic knowledge, and that only the powers of good that lie outside of his synthetic knowledge, which is to me a spiritual awakening, a spiritual experience, and that how to do that, he's telling us that we had to acquire ideas that put into practical application at once. And so practical application to me is putting the food down and getting into the steps immediately. For me, when I work with people, I say, please put the food down for 48 hours and call me and let's get in the book. Another thing here is the unselfishness of the men, the absence of profit motive and their community spirit. You know, for me, the only way for me to keep it is to give it away, and to stay recovered, I have to work with other people. It's imperative that I do that, and, you know, that I do it on the altruistic plane, which was mentioned yesterday. And altruistic meaning helping others unselfishly, showing concern for others. And, you know, that's what I do. And then last but not least down here, it talks about that still more in the power which pulls chronic alcoholics back from the gates of death. And the power, the word power is capitalized, which I think to me it's referring to a higher power, to God as I understand him. And just that I know that it's telling me I can't do this alone. I have tried to do it alone. My disease will tell me I can do it alone. My self-will is the voice of my disease. And so if I rely on a power greater than myself, and work the steps, I will stay out of the gates of death. And without it, I will not. I will be back into the disease, and I'll be back into the gates of death. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sherry KB. Stacey L., you're up next, followed by Miriam.
Yes, thanks for your service. This is Stacey T. as in Tom, and I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio. Thanks again. And as I continue going through the doctor's opinion, I gain more and more appreciation for Dr. Silkworth and the miracle that he's brought to my life and to those of us that study this big book. And I knew I was afflicted. I didn't know with what. I knew I was suffering, and I knew I was tortured. And before I knew what the solution was, I think like Dr. Silkworth, I thought for me, it was a matter of being weak-willed and not having enough desire to put the food down. So I knew that there was something wrong with me, and I had no idea what I could do, and neither did anybody else. And I think that perhaps that's where Dr. Silkworth was at as well. And he had the courage to call this as he saw it, that especially the last piece, that they believed in themselves and still more in a power which pulls chronic alcoholics back from the gates of death. And when I first started reading this many decades ago, I didn't understand it. I did not understand any part of the doctor's opinion at all until I started learning with all of you and a vision for you. And I knew I was at the gates of death, and there were times I prayed to be released from the bondage of self so that I could just die and not stand at the gate. And because of Bill W. and those that followed with him, I'm slowly but surely believing in a power that's greater than me that can pull me back from the gates of death. And I didn't know that that was possible for a compulsive overeater of my type. And furthermore, I didn't believe that I would have the willingness to do the action necessary. And I continue praying for the willingness to be in action for these 24 hours or one moment of these 24 hours to be open to learning from all of you and from ASK and for asking my newly developed relationship with my higher power. Thank you very much to guide me to the solution. And thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you very much, Stacey T. Marianne K., followed by Kathleen O.
Hi, Marin from Los Angeles. Thank you for monitoring the meeting and everybody who shared. I love the doctor's opinion. One of the one things that has standed out since I tried to get abstinent since 1980, I got abstinent in 1988, was the line, we had to have entire abstinence. And then he goes on to talk about the importance of moral psychology. I did not grow up in a family that taught me anything about that. I learned through my sponsor and through you guys about what that meant. I went to 8 different hospitals. I was 60 pounds. I almost died. I finally came to Los Angeles and went inpatient and had a sponsor and the steps and the big book. And through the big book, I heard the voice of God and was able to recover or get recovery and feed myself and stop throwing up because I wanted to, because I had a relationship with God once I started to read this doctor's opinion. You guys don't want anything from me. You give freely for fun and for free, and you saved my life. It is true what it says here. It pulls chronic alcoholics back from the gates of death. I was at death's door, literally. I mean, I was at 70 pounds. And I would never have recovered if I did not have the 12 steps. I had tried and tried and tried and was never successful. But in this book, which I consider to be my Bible, is all the solution to my problems. And I love this letter because it does give us hope. It gives us hope. And thanks to the big book and the steps and the sponsor, I have not had to go back to being 60 pounds or throwing up every day. And I have 23 years of abstinence. And I still have to prune and work at it. It's not easy. It's not the easiest thing, but going back to the way it was would have been horrible. And I'm just grateful this day, as yesterday grateful, that even though I don't do abstinence perfectly, I have never had to go back to what it was like. And you guys do this work from an unselfish place. You give freely, and that is not something that you find with a doctor. A doctor makes you pay $300 an hour. So I would have never recovered without the help of OA. So I am indebted to OA. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Marin K. Marin K. Kathleen O., you're up next, followed by Leah TD.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Elaine. This is Kathleen O., recovered in California. This is so perfect that this doctor's opinion, that Dr. Silkworth wrote this at the beginning of the big book, because there were hopeless alcoholics out there. And I'm sure there are hopeless families of those alcoholics out there. And, you know, as I did prior to coming into 12-step recovery, I tried lots of things and none of them worked. And my family saw me doing this and, you know, it was hard on them. And it just felt totally hopeless. So to have, you know, back in the 30s when these alcoholics, they could read that this doctor's got this opinion about this and which gives a lot of hope for people to keep reading the book. So we doctors have realized for a long time that some form of moral psychology was of urgent importance to alcoholics. And, you know, moral psychology, it's how people integrate their ideals with the development of their characters, like how we make decisions. And I love how the word power is in there down there, and it's capitalized. More in the power which pulls chronic alcoholics back from the gates of death. So God is never mentioned in here, and I think that that was a good thing to do because, you know, if I had picked up this book and or read that opinion and heard God or saw it in a magazine article, I probably would have put it down. And so I love how he uses these different words, but that whole thing on the moral psychology, to me, you know, that is the steps. You know, we're cleaning up the past. We're realizing we're powerless. We're finding a higher power. We're cleaning up the past. And then we go into this fellowship, which is, you know, described in this too. And, you know, talking about Bill Wilson doing this and he didn't do it for profit. He did it. He was passionate that, you know, here's a solution for people. And, you know, yesterday there were 14 people at our house and there was a lot of food and what's really amazing is because I work this program every day, because I don't rest on my laurels, because I stay connected with my higher power, make amends when I need to, look at my resentments and fears, don't stay in them. I could look at that food yesterday and it absolutely did nothing. It didn't call to me. I didn't think I wanted it. And it's really a weird sensation for those of you who've felt this to look at food and it there's just no charge on it. And before I would have been obsessing about it. And, you know, I had my abstinent measured meal and I really got to enjoy the people that were at my home yesterday instead of focusing on the food. And, you know, so there's a solution for anyone who's, you know, new on the line or would love to not, you know, start on Thanksgiving and carry it all the way through Valentine's Day. And thank you, I pass. Thanks, Julie.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Layat TD, followed by Paula.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Thank you for this amazing meeting and all of you. You know, Dr. Silkworth, from what my study was, is at this point, he's about 9 years experience with alcoholics and drug addicts in this prominent hospital. You know, and to think about the time, you know, doctor at that time was almost like God. You know, there was no CEO of Apple Computer, and these were the people, the doctors, the lawyers, the teachers, they were these were the people we turned to learn and to understand and to solve problems. And here, you know, in his letter, I want to cry because I hear such humble message, you know, that they really, you know, they saw that there is a problem, you know, that, you know, a moral approach and a moral psychology approach would be the right thing because, you know, those people were lacking moral judgment, moral motivation, moral action, moral character. I mean, they had to steal from the wife's lender purse to get their alcohol. You know, they had to do things that were insane and out of character for people of their caliber. You know, they're, you know, businessmen. And, you know, that doesn't make sense. And I can relate to it completely, you know. And so how do you change that? You know, and I have suffered for you. I understand it, and I'm so grateful. I relate to that, that strange mental blank spot, that insanity, you know, insanity comes from the word insanus, from Latin, which means unhealthy. Sanus is health. You know, I have an unhealthy mind that pushes away, that crowds away any moral idea, any moral idea. You know, I understand that binging the way I did will hurt me and hurt others. It pushes people, and but I don't have that. I'm lacking that. And so to be in that place, you know, I have a delusion idea that comes to my mind, some lie, and I follow it with completely blanking out, and it pushes away any moral idea. And so the only solution for me was to kill the self through, you know, the 12 steps and abandonment to God. So I don't do anything to others altruistic because I'm an altruistic person. It's the only way that can take me away from me. I'm so self-centered, self-indulged. I think about myself all the time. And this, I need to crowd away myself out of my head so I can live and breathe. And the only way was through 12 steps, and I'm grateful for that. And I love you all. Have a great Friday. Pass.
Thank you very much. We have Paula next. May we have the first initial of your last name, please?
Surely you may. This would be Paula, thanking you first. And Paula D., and currently in New Hampshire, recovered by and with the grace of God. So strange that they say Thanksgiving passed. No. Still here, giving thanks. It says the doctor writes, I don't know about anybody else, but when I put a pen to my hand, in my hand, and Dr. Bill W. says this office, pen in hand, you think first before you write. Thoughts come into your head, and then they become words. But look at here, more than words. The subject presented in this book, seem to be of paramount importance. Now, this is what he's writing to those afflicted with alcohol addiction. I am just going to check my time here. Wonder just as that was being read, wow, paramount? I want to go here. There was therefore a sense of real satisfaction. Look at here, pen in hand. When I was asked to contribute a few words on a subject which is covered in just masterly detail in these books. In this book, these pages, he says, in this book that has gone on and on and on. The stories have changed, but not the chapters. Not these chapters, not what we're reading here, exactly the same. They didn't know. I mean, that's pretty big. I'll tell you, even me in my lowly place, so I say sometimes, I don't know. Here, these doctors with all kinds of degrees, they don't know. But I want to come to this part here. Lies outside of synthetic knowledge. They had so much, but not enough. I thought I had so much knowledge, but not enough. A transformation. Then it says, many years ago, one of our leading contributors to this book came under our care in this hospital. And while here, he acquired, look at what he got, some ideas. Why not the first time? Why not the second? What happened then when he put into practical application at once? That's where it was. He got the idea. You can stand in front of a wall with a bucket of paint and a brush. Honey, that wall ain't getting painted until you apply it. What do we apply here? What do we live here? The steps. He only had six at that time, Oxford Group six steps. Can I tell you? They both began with surrender. It must be. The first step, admitted hopeless for good. Imagine. That's total surrender. Not until tomorrow. Not until this happened. Then he ends with, and I just absolutely love the ending here, because it opens a door. The entire absence of profit motive in their community spirit. That's why we're here. A community
spirit. Gentle reminder.
Thank you. And then I will close it out. is indeed inspiring to one who has labored long and wearily in this alcoholic field. Thank you, Dr. Silkworth, and thank you for the time given. Much appreciated. With that, I do pass.
And thank you, Paula D. So we're commenting today on the doctor's opinion, page XXVII. We're starting with the third line, the doctor writes, and we're reading and commenting on six paragraphs ending from back from the gates of death. Who'd like to comment on these paragraphs
today? Kathy K.
Penny L. C.
Penny L. C. That's who it was before. Sorry, Mr. Penny. Okay. Anybody else?
Holly M.
I'm sorry. Was that Holly M?
Holly.
Holly M. Okay.
Leslie C.
Leslie C. Okay.
Adrian
M.
Wendy M.
Adrian.
Wendy M.
Okay. Adrian M. Okay, great. So I have Kathy K., Penny L. C., Allie M., Leslie C., Adrian M., and Wendy M. Please go ahead, Kathy K.
Good morning. This is Kathy K. Thank you, Elaine, so much for your service. I'm recovered in Boston. And I'm so aware this morning as I listen to everybody share and read these paragraphs with you, how far I've come in my own thinking and my own openness to what Dr. Silkworth has offered to us. I remember, well, for the first many years I was in OA, I didn't even read the doctor's opinion because it didn't have regular page numbers. So I just thought it wasn't that important. And finally, when I was told it was very important and I started to read it, the thing that really impressed me was that there was a renowned physician who believed in this program of recovery that was outlined in this book. So that was helpful. It gave me a bit more credence in what I was reading. But it wasn't until studying these paragraphs and this chapter over and over again over the years that it moved from my head to my heart that what's being talked about here is a solution that's outside the realm of my understanding. And as one who has been trained as a social scientist, that was a hard piece of information to accept. I wanted to understand how it works. And I just am so grateful as a result of studying this book and listening to my fellows over the years. I have come to be very comfortable that the solution is actually outside the realm of my human understanding, but I am taught how to access that solution by practicing every day what I need to do in the steps in order to deepen a connection with my higher power. So, you know, just following the rules as they're outlined in this book, the instructions, I have been brought to know and experience the solution, though I'm not necessarily able to explain it. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Kathy K. Penny L.C., you're up next, followed by Allie M.
Thank you, Elaine, for your service, and good morning. And good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And the thread that I see through these paragraphs is one of humility. The doctor writes, in a very humble place, to be able to admit that he does not have the answers, and to be able to acknowledge that our synthetic knowledge that's man-made does not have the solution at this time. It takes something beyond that power beyond man And then the humility of Bill to come and offer himself, and knowing that he has a solution that he believes works and he wants to share it, but he doesn't ram it down the throats of others. He doesn't insist that they immediately start the step work. He just comes alongside and tells his story. One addict talking to another. And the humility that that took, I just appreciate that, and the power of this writing lets me know that when I go forward in my day, in my recovery, it's imperative that I be focused on humility. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Penny L.C. Allie M., you're up next, followed by Lisi C.
Thank you so much. Good morning. This is Allie M. from Bellingham, Washington. And I really love this reading. The first thing that I noticed is that it says paramount. Let's see, in the beginning here, it says, of paramount importance to those afflicted with alcoholic addiction. So so the subject in this book presented, it's so important, but I never was exposed to this before, and I know how important it is to me now. And this moral psychology that we're talking about, it does have to be an entire change, you know, of how my mind worked, and still every day how my mind works has to be changed so that I can stay free of this affliction. And I went through all sorts of therapy and with different types of doctors, you know, cutting edge methods, and it says its application presented difficulties beyond our conception. So conception, you know, maybe they can conceive of this practical application, but the actual doing of it is beyond these doctors' ability. And I was in a really intensive therapy program for a while where I actually had two therapy sessions a week, and I had to call my therapist every day. But if I engaged in my target behaviors, then I wasn't allowed to call. And I had to make all these commitments to my therapist. And guess what? I couldn't make them. I couldn't keep them. And I have resentments against my therapist for paying for the sessions. And it just didn't work. But when another person who understands me and has the same problems and this same symptom as I do, when they come to me and they offer what they have been through and I can relate, then somehow magically I can do it. I can't do this for myself, and that's the one thing that I had some fun trying to explain it to a therapist once, and you know, it doesn't matter if they understand, but this is not on my power. I have to find a higher power that speaks to me through other people, and I have to do the same for my higher power to share what insights I've been given so that we can all do this together. And when I get the chance to work with another person, my world opens up. It is the sunlight of the spirit that I need, you know, in order to let me get through the change that has to happen in my mind. And I'm just so grateful. I'm so blown away every time I get to work with somebody and I get more of that spirit. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Allie M. And Lisi C., you're up next. Forgive me if I mispronounce your name, and then Adrian N. will be right after you.
Good morning. I am Leslie C. in Imperial Beach, California, recovering from a hopeless state of mind and body. The doctor's opinion was very important to me. It gives me permission as a card-carrying atheist, you know, member of that club for sure. It gives me permission to accept the spiritual solution that is in this book. You know, it took a man of science, a man of science that I could respect, to explain to me that it would be okay to take this huge leap of faith, to depend on something that a majority of the world believes in, this concept of God that I just don't buy. You know, I'm such a skeptic. I'm such a skeptic about so many things, and I lack a lot of humility, and I think I know everything. You know, I think I know a lot better than most people. And all that did was get me to be nearly 400 pounds in a lot of physical pain and just emotional hell. You know, that's where my thinking got. But still, it did take this man of science to tell me that some form of moral psychology, which Harlan tells me actually means a spiritual awakening. It takes some kind of spiritual awakening so that I can apply the powers of God that lie outside our synthetic knowledge. So that this man of science gave me permission to take a leap of faith and buy into the idea of a higher power. So, which later in the book, and page 55, tells me I can only find that deep down within. And thankfully, I found that. And I had some really good recovery for about 3 years. And then, poof, it all just went away because I lost that connection to a higher power. But I'll tell you, and then I couldn't find it. And it wasn't that I couldn't find it, but that all that skepticism came back. And I was really spiraling down the drain, and a friend took me to New Jersey in the beginning of September, the middle of September, and I got to spend the weekend with 800 visionaries, and it was a powerful experience, and it was experience much like that is in the final chapter we read today, unselfishness, lack of power
reminder.
Loading. Oh, gosh, thank you very much. And I'm forever grateful to come away at the very end of that conference. I just said, it's God. That's my solution. Thank you for letting me share today.
Thank you very much, Leslie C. I'm afraid we only have time for one more share. So I'm so sorry, Wendy M. We won't be able to hear from you today. Adrian M., you're up next. Please.
Hi. Adrian in Florida. I've been in the program. This is my fifth decade in the program. I've never left. And I've had years and years of recovery. And I have been in relapse for 5 years and 4 months. I took one bite, and that one bite has been such torture. I've had days of abstinence, weeks, months, but I still keep falling back into the food. And I realize that my problem is I don't have a concept of a higher power. I believe in there's a higher power. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that feels like anymore. I just can't get in touch with it. And I so much want to have a higher power. I want to have a conscious contact again. I want to be abstinent again. And so far, thank God, today I am. But if you're hemming and hawing whether this is for you or not for you, don't give up. Because once you give up, it's so hard to get it back. And that saying that it's so much easier to stay abstinent than to get abstinent is so true. You know, I keep making phone calls and I ask people what their higher power looks like or feels like because I'm trying to get it back and it's eluding me. It really is eluding me. And the food is a nightmare. It just is like a noose around my neck that doesn't want to loosen up. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much. We do have just one moment, Wendy M., if you'd like to do a real quick share.
Yeah, hi, Wendy M. I'll do this quickly. So just a couple of things. So much gratitude for Dr. Silkworth to humble himself to say that he doesn't know something. And this program's all about setting aside what we know and being open and teachable, and I don't know. And the thing that I love the most is when they describe the absence of profit motive, because I don't want anything from you. You don't need, and you don't want anything from me. And that's an entirely new paradigm shift when it comes to relating to other human beings. And someone said to me recently, when I don't need anything from you, I am free. I have complete freedom. And when I need something from you, I'm not free. I'm completely tethered. And as someone said, this book is about the death of self, right? So it's all about unselfishness and entire absence of profit motive. And it's and that's what keeps this completely separate and different than anything I've ever experienced. And I just want to say Thanksgiving was amazing. Thank you, God. All right, with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. And thank you, everyone, who shared today. We'll now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164. Will Penny L.C. please read A Vision for You?
Yes, thank you, Elaine. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.